I need three men to help me pass out notes. Pastor Kwok is going to be one of them. If I can get a couple more guys. I don't want to ask only once, guys. Thank you. Tea time, you go over here. Cliff will do this side. Thank you. Thank you. Whoops. Excuse me. Sorry. I want to get one from the old man here. There we go. Titus chapter 3, if you have a Bible. I don't have the ability to show a PowerPoint today for obvious reasons, so. Most of what we're going to do is going to be basic stuff, nothing tricky. Sorry, Pastor Kwok, you're just sitting there, just standing, looking good. These are for everybody that can read and write. If you cannot read and write, you don't need one. All right, pretty much everybody's got some. Make sure that back row, because they are the worst row. Three guys back there are pretty bad. I wasn't thinking of you, Ade, in this case. I was looking over at Peter, Louie, and Robert. All right, let's all stand, please. May I say before we begin, everybody, we read the Bible like children. Most of us were trained by pastors who did not know how to read the Bible. Therefore, biblical truth just becomes random verses yanked in all kinds of places, mixed up in a bowl, and somehow becomes soup. Friends, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The first word is the most important word. For he's explaining why we live like we live, because God has done something. He has saved us by his amazing grace. Look at me. If you're an older man, older woman, younger man, you live a certain way because what Christ has done. That's chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Spent 2 weeks talking about it. This isn't random thoughts like ping pong balls. Now, in verse 15 of chapter 2, I'm not going to preach on that. I might not preach on it because it's directed to pastors. He says very clearly, and if you're a pastor, well, you don't have to take this seriously because we have lots who don't. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. This is what you preach, even though you have people in the audience that don't like to hear it. And this morning will be one of those. Regardless of your political affiliations, you will not like everything I'm going to say this morning. I don't care where you're at on the political spectrum. We've been going astray. He then comes back to basically citizenship in verse 1 and 2. And then he's going to immediately go right back to the gospel again, because he's wrapping this all up around what Christ has done for us. In verse 1, it says this, put them in mind. ESV, a little bit more simply, says this, remind them. By the way, much of what a pastor does is have to remind until the ideas become yours. Hello? Can I say this? This is for my friend Dave. He did an outstanding job in Sunday school. Dave, the biggest problem I have has nothing to do with all you've said. You've had 50,000 messages this week. which means you have a hard time listening to anything. You just have stuff popping. By the way, I have to keep reminding us, and this is one of them. I've never preached on these two verses. I don't know why. Put them or remind them to be subject or be in submission to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. All of that is first century language about governments. To be ready to every good work in relationship to governments, not in relationship to church. Not talking about church. He's talking about a Christian's responsibility to their government. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers. I like that language. We have become a country of brawlers. But gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For, now he's coming back to the gospel, what Christ has done for us. And he's going to say, hey, we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers or different lusts and pleasures, living in malice, you know, the ill will towards people, envy, hateful. And that's a one-use word. It either means being hated or hating someone else, and then hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared. And he goes right into the gospel. This morning, we're going to deal with two verses, citizens of Crete. And of course, we're not citizens of Crete. We're citizens of these United States of America. The principles are identical. Friends, I thought about putting this off. We're coming up to our 250th anniversary in our country. Are we in worse shape than we've ever been? Well, some people say yes. This is my guess. I doubt it. I'm thinking 1860 was worse. But I don't want to go back to 1860. Do you? Some of you don't even know what we're talking about. The things that were said of Abraham Lincoln and the pictures that Southerners did of Abraham Lincoln are beyond comprehension, the very same thing we're doing in this country today on both sides of the extreme. I'm going to say this before I pray and we'll start. I said in Bible class, Quee was there, but he was sleeping. I'm just picking on Quee. Come on, relax, relax. I love Quee. I meant it then and I mean it now. You can be a Democrat and be a Christian. You can be a Republican and be a Christian. You cannot be a far left Democrat and be a Christian, and you cannot be a far right Republican and be a Christian. Those two positions are mutually exclusive of Christianity. And it's very obvious if you follow the stupidity on the extremes. Wow. This morning, we're going to talk about a text. Do you all know what a text is? It's called the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, help me as I try to share ideas that I kind of think are important about what we're about these days. Help me to be able to share and encourage. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'm talking this morning about this text, Citizens of Crete. We're going to read in the little block there. That does not come from the Bible. I read an entire book on this last week, on that one statement. I read an entire book. Breaking it down. And I found out, Jim, there is actually multiple versions of this. On the Jefferson Memorial is a different version than this. It's about, they're close. We hold these truths to be self-evident, meaning we don't need to argue about them. They're obvious and self-evident from reason. That all men, and it took us a long time to figure out what that meant, I think we got it figured out, hopefully now, that all peoples, males, females, every ethnic group, all those sorts of things, are created what? Doesn't mean we're the same. It means we have the equal rights under God in the law. That they are endowed by their whom? I know these weren't Christians, right? Shut that stuff up. That we are endowed by their creator with certain. And on the Jefferson Memorial, I prefer the other word, inalienable rights. This one says unalienable rights. I don't know which one's correct. and I actually think both of them were in circulation, that among these were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which, by the way, in that day meant the pursuit of property. You could own something, it would be yours. You could build a life that would be pleasurable, happy, and bring fulfillment to you, your family, etc. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of government, of the governed, excuse me. Otherwise, we get these from God. We join together. We don't get these. By the way, look at me. The governor of Illinois does not tell us what's right or wrong. The president of the United States does not decide he's Jesus. I don't hear many amens. We got a problem on every side, friend. I think we have lost track of what it means to be an American and lost track of what it means to be a Christian. I'm going to remind you of some of those things. Christianity has always been universal. It transcends cultures, and then it transforms those cultures. Any culture that Christianity has taken root in, biblical Christianity, polygamy disappears for monogamy. Corruption and graft disappears for honesty. I had a meal this week with a lovely lady. Where is Sonia? Is she in here? Sonia made, I would tell you it was a good meal. That is really a lie. It was one of those kind of meals you just feel like you're just going to die and go right to heaven. Her husband was in Belize recently. His comment to, in your presence and in my presence and in my wife's presence was, I don't like what goes on in Belize. Every place you go, people are asking for bribes. Christianity changes how people live. Well, it's supposed to. It's not only transcending cultures, it transforms them. From going to cities where you have to have bars, gates, razor wires. By the way, the moment you start seeing bars, gates, and razor wires, you know Christianity has no impact in that area. Because Christians don't steal. I'll talk about Pastor Kwok later. And I'm being serious about that. Matriarchies fall apart. Patriarchies fall apart. And you start having biblical families. Rampant theft, whether by private individuals or by the government, stops. Ooh, take a breather on that one. Margaret Thatcher's famous statement, problem with socialism is sooner or later, you run out of other people's money. We have that little problem in New York City and in Chicago now. We can't even steal enough money. Of course, by the way, as a Christian, if you believe in the Ten Commandments, you actually believe in private property. Thou shalt not steal means you believe that people own things privately, not socially. By the way, friend, are you a Christian? Well, I am. Well, I'm going to talk about some ideas this morning. Citizens of the United States, but this is true any place. What do we find in the text? Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 1. We find, start right out at the beginning in the hard part. He says, put them in mind, or remind them, works too. To be subject or in submission to principalities and powers. We don't use that language, but it's the language of government. To obey magistrates. I say, number one, we are to be law-abiding citizens. Law-abiding citizens. That is fundamental to being a Christian. Any place on earth, by the way, I can't get away from it. You say, don't you like to break the law? I think Paul would have a problem with that in Scripture. Romans says this, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute, which is talking about money, to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Have you noticed we're a culture that doesn't honor anybody but who? Who? Ourselves. If you want to know how Christianity is doing in America, you can't even read these verses anymore. It's an embarrassment. We are to be law-abiding citizens. Surjit said something to me last week, I think. Surjit, I'm not quoting you. Where's Surjit at? He's teaching. Okay, so he's not even here to defend himself. He said this, something like this. He says, and he made, I consider it a very clear and wise observation. He says, we Christians, there's certain things that people know we can't do. We don't fight the police. We don't burn buildings down. We don't invade people's private spaces. Can I have an amen? We don't burn, pillage, steal, destroy, harm people. And I, when he said that to me, and I'm adding and paraphrasing horribly, I thought to myself, well, no, of course not. Believers are law-abiding citizens in any country they are. I can tell you this. I've never been involved in a mostly peaceful protest in Kenosha that burned half the city down. Nor would I ever be. You say, why not? Don't you believe in peace? Oh, shut up. By the way, do you think anybody benefited from that? Do you think the people that lost their homes and businesses benefited? You say, Pastor Warren, but people have marched before. Look at me. If you march like they did in the 1950s and 60s, Clayton, you know what I'm talking about. Martin Luther King Jr., I'm not talking about him, the man. The marches were honorable, peaceful. I saw black males in Arkansas. You can still find it on video. Black men come up to white racists and say, you're a Christian, aren't you? Why don't we pray together? If that's the kind of march you're talking about, I'm 100% for it. This burning, pillaging, murdering, robbing, thieving. By the way, a Christian, Paul says, remind them to be subject or in submission, to obey. Christians don't do those kind of things. I say in your notes, you can fill this in or not, whatever you would prefer. We believe in law and order. Yes? Can I say this to you real clearly? Everybody look at me. Can I say this to you as clearly as I can? I want to say this to it because we got people from all over the world here. Are you listening? There's something worse than corruption. Civil unrest. You can adjust to a little bit of corruption. And by the way, Chicago is world famous for its corruption. Ain't nothing changed. By the way, I don't like it. I would like Christianity to be a little bit more in charge. I would like some honor, integrity, and decency. And it's not here, and it's not in most places. But there's something worse than that. And anybody that's been in a country, Sonia, you grew up as a child in El Salvador during civil unrest, and your family had to flee for safety. By the way, this isn't a joke. There were worse things. You say, boy, people don't like me. They speak down to me. Burning it down isn't going to help. We believe in law and order. We believe that laws come from God. Wow. And next, we believe laws as part of the social contract. That our declaration and constitution's all about. We're coming together under certain laws and certain ideas that holds us together. That was the whole point. By the way, it's a dangerous place when you don't have any law and order and you only have rule, you only have power. I say this, laws applicable to all people. There's not one set of laws for the rich and one for the poor. See, some of you are not even going to know what I'm talking about. There's not one set of laws for the rich and one set for the poor. There's also not one for the oppressed and one for the oppressor. There's one law under God, period. Boy, and you want to be in that kind of a country. So laws applicable to all people. And in my way of thinking, laws we are to obey and submit to. This is who we are. This is what we do. Seems to me to be simple. Yes, as an American, I can vote. Thank God for it. I vote. You say, is your vote always good? Can I say this? For a whole long time, I haven't had a good vote in a long time. I don't like the people that have been running for office for quite some time, but I vote. We can try to influence. We can try to have our voice heard. But by the way, my view of things is we're here for the common good. I'll say that again. We're here for the common good. not for the rich or the poor or the oppressed or the oppressors, according to how far you want to take that stupidity. You say, how does this impact us? Glad you asked. Last Sunday, Judy. Everybody know where Judy is. Judy's right over Judy. Hi, sister. Judy gave me a big card for my birthday. She caught me at the worst time. By the way, if you want to give me something, please do me a favor. Don't give it to me at the end of a service. At the end of a service, I only have two things on my mind: the scripture and people. Judy, I love you. You know that. Now, Cliffy, that's separate, but I like you. She gave me a card for my birthday. My first thought is, where's Jenny? Because she has something to put that card. It was too big to fit in a pocket. It was a big card. What color was it? Orange or something? It was brown. It's close to orange. I don't know what color it was. It was a big card. You know, in an envelope, had Pastor Warren on it. I remember her handing it to me. The next thought I had of that card was Monday. I come in Monday and I thought, where did that card go? So I did the usual things. I looked in my office. By the way, very clean office. Everything is perfect in the office. I couldn't find it in the office. Then I thought, I put it in the car. Walked down to my car. I always put stuff in the back seat, not in the back seat. I'm thinking, I didn't go into the trunk. I looked in the trunk. I picked stuff up, not in the trunk. So then I went home. I only put things in three places at home: on the steps going upstairs, in my office on my desk, or in my reading area. I look, I'm starting to panic. You say, why are you panicked? Because Judy not only gave me the card. Do you remember what you said? Do not what? Do not lose it. And what had I done? I had lost it. So I started panicking. Then I thought, I have two people in my life, both highly irritating, that are very good bulldog terriers. So I talked to the first one. You say, what one's that one's name? I'm going to skip the name. I said, would you look? I thought, maybe I set it back here. So I had Bambi look for that one. She spent an hour or so. She went into my office, looked every place. Is that correct? She's very happy about it, too. And then I got the big dog on it, Amy. I said, Amy, have you seen, has anybody turned one of the, I don't remember what I said, because I talked to her half a dozen times. She says, Dad, I'll get on the cameras. You do know we have cameras here. So, Jamie, when you're smoking, when no one's around, just remember there's cameras here, okay? We can see that. So Amy got on the camera, and she said, Dad, when did Judy give that to you? And Judy, I called Judy, and she said, Sunday night. So Amy went through the whole, you know, at the end of the service until everybody's gone, and she couldn't find the handoff that Judy handed me something. Well, you only got Sunday morning left. So she winds it back to Sunday morning. But by the way, you know why I'm telling you this story, Brennan? Do you have any idea? It's not about the story. The story's funny, but it's about something else. I said to you, and probably to you both, I don't believe there's a person here that would steal. Because Christianity changes the stealing habits. And I don't think there's a person in this room, if you saw my name on a card, that you would think it was yours. Now, by the way, am I correct? I'm going with it. Okay? We've had thieves here before. Yes. But I think if you're saved, you just, the thieving's done. You say, where's Pastor Koch? He doesn't part of this story, but let me just say this. I have money in my wallet. If I went into Pastor Koch's office, you can see the money. They're dollar bills, by the way. Don't get nervous. If I put my wallet on top of his desk and we didn't go into that room, I didn't go into that room for a year, do you know where that wallet would be when I went back? Well, unless Amber's in there, okay. That would change the situation. What did you say? Yeah, probably. I couldn't find it either under his stuff either. Listen, friend, I told Bambi and Amy, I'm pretty sure, and thought to myself, nobody would steal that. You say, why not? Christian, we're law-abiding citizens. That's how we live. Folks, I've been walking in my neighborhood. If I walk in my neighborhood and walk around in my neighborhood and see somebody, people leave their car doors open, trunks open, you say, what do? Well, I go through the car and see what I can find. Every time, and this can be a little weird, I walk up to the house, knock on the door and say, folks, you've left it. Yes? You say, well, I'm a law-abiding citizen. God wants us to live by his laws and the laws of the land in general. You say, what about? Drop your dumb what abouts. In general, about 99% of your life is simply that. Obey the laws. You say, I don't like the laws. You have the opportunity to change the laws then. Wow. Well, you say, what happened to the cart? Big bulldog, Amy. She looked on Sunday morning and she found the handoff, right, Amy? And it was not Sunday night, Judy. It was, by the way, I would be picking on you. I didn't know if it was Sunday morning or Sunday night. I was just in a panic because I remembered one thing. Don't lose it. And I have lost it. And I'm panicking. Amy found the handoff. Then she said, I went through the doors. I don't know if I went to the restroom or whatever. Locked the front doors. This was Sunday morning. Because my wife had slipped out to the car. I couldn't give her my envelope. I went upstairs. Oh, I don't want to confess this, but I got to confess my stupidity. So I took this envelope bigger than this or about that size. And I thought, where's the one place I can't lose it? Not on my desk. Not on a chair. When you first walk in the door, there's a bookshelf there. I thought, I'll take it and stick it in the book, and it will stick out 3/5 or 3/4 of the thing will stick out with my name on it. So surely I'll remember it. Now, bulldog number one or two and bulldog number, neither one of us found it, did we? And I was in there looking every, I remember Amy coming in the door, looking at her and sticking out of the books was right here it was. You say, how did you finally find it? She saw this. She saw me come back through carrying the envelope. I went upstairs and I didn't bring it out. So she said, it's got to be in the office. So she walks in there. Judy, I had a nervous wreck week trying to find an envelope because I didn't want you to have to tell me, I told you, Pastor Warren, don't lose the envelope. All right, friends, I want to say this and be done with this. Did you hear what I said? Do you know how to, you know, if you work in this organization, do you know what's implicit? You don't steal. I look around here from Leticia, which is wonderful. She's a perfect abuelita with our children. I trust her implicitly. Hello? To Jen Rush, to An, wherever An is. I mean, I trust the people here. By the way, that's what we do in this country and in this world. We're law-abiding citizens. I shouldn't ever hear if you did what? Of course not. God's changed us. We'll talk more about that in future weeks. Let's go on to the second part. Now we come into a little bit more difficulty. You say, Pastor, are you going to lead a protest and burn down some of Waukegan? The answer would be no. You say, do you like everything in Waukegan? Can I tell you what? Look at me. There's several things I don't like in Waukegan right up front. I don't like anything to do with gambling. I don't like anything to do with alcohol, and we have them on every street corner. Do you realize when I moved to Zion, you couldn't even buy alcohol in Zion. Now you can buy it every street corner. You have gaming. Every time I go out with Peter Tsai, I got to pull him out of the gaming place. Come on, Peter, don't go in there. He wants to go in there, right? Peter, I'm sorry. I owe you. Let's look at the text again, please. Number two. It goes on to say, put them or remind them to be into subjection or to submit to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. I'm going to explain it in a moment, but the problem is we read the word good works and our mind goes off into la-la land. This is talking about what we do as a citizen. This is not talking about good works at church, good works as a believer. It's really talking about a Christian as a citizen. So I'm going to say this. We are to be community building citizens. We have that in this church already. I will touch on some of those in a moment. So the good works are connected to government, our civil government, our society, our community. I say in your notes, good works, yes, of course. Church, witnessing, praying, giving, supporting missions, all of those are essential. But that's not really the point here. This is connected to where we live, our place, our country, our city, our community, our island called Crete. We live and contribute here. We build things up. So I'll mention really quickly several things, ideas. And by the way, Wednesday night, this should be our discussion point, but it should be your discussion point today. Every one of us, yes, look at me, friend, I believe in tithing. That's just minimal Christian duty. I also believe that we have a responsibility to a community. Do you? Now, I'm going to compliment some people that are already doing this. If you're doing it, God bless you. And if you're not, find a way of doing it. Since I've come here, Captain Duncan, Jim Duncan, has been highly involved in the American Legion, which does a lot of things in Zion area for community, patriotism towards America. It also, Jim, you've had programs for kids to go off to different kind of programs for furthering their education and their abilities. By the way, this is not church, but it's community building. Hello? It's impacting. Can I say this? Most people think my Christian duty's done, and we've had them in this room. Your Christian duty's done when you go home and sit down in front of your television at night. No, I'm not saying anything what you ought to do. I can think of a lot of them. I say things such as, how about this? Boy Scouts. You say, I don't like the Boy Scouts. Well, take over the Boy Scouts where you are. Lead it in a positive direction. There are 10,000 things you can be involved in that build a community. Now I'm going to go to personal. Lake County Christian School. You ever heard of it? Yes? Please look at me. This isn't a joke. This isn't a byline. I came here 30 years ago, a little over 30 years ago. I knew there was a school here because my wife had taught in this school. She's only 21. I don't know how it works, but she taught here from 77 to 81. It was before she was born she taught here. Friends, a man came to me. Everybody hearing me? I like the man. I do not respect his wisdom, but I like the man. Some of you would know him. He told me 28 and a half to 29 years ago, he said, the first thing you need to do is move this school out of this area. Move this school where? Clayton, you know. Geography, anybody? Move the school. Why? It's where the money is. Thank you. Can I say this to you? Some of you, and there are people that think I'm stupid, an idiot, and they're so much smarter than me. I thought about this, and I thought this was my simple thought 29 or so years ago. We're here for our kids. Not all of our kids come through here, but we're here for all of our kids that want to come here. Their parents want them here. But we're also here for our community. You say, why? Because do you know how often, Tim, how often do we meet kids all through this community that will walk up to us? I'll be in Sam's Club, and I had a girl walk up, a girl, probably near 40, walked up to me and said, hi, Pastor Warren. And I'm like, I don't know who she is, 40-year-old. We're doing what? We're benefiting a community. By the way, we have the school here, yes. Yes, for the Christian education, absolutely. Yes, to hopefully reach some of the kids for Christ, yes. But also, can I say this? Do you think we help a community when a kid gets a good education? Huh? By the way, if you go to the public schools in this area, unless you're the elite of the elite, you get no math skills. That's intentional. You probably learn about rap. You probably learn about Trump. You don't know any history. By the way, I think our job is building this community. Community building. Does anyone understand what I just said? You say, when are you moving? Not as long as I'm here. You say, well, have you looked at the school? Yes. When I came here, we were much, 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 much more white. And I'm going to say this, not about white and black, also more affluent people. Many of those, by the way, if you want to go that, move to Antioch. But we're here, and we're here to help these people. So I'm going to speak to someone directly here. Kim, you came here for how many years? How many? 7 years. I'm happy you came here, and I'm happy you graduated from here, even though your family didn't come to this church. I'm very happy we're able to help you a little bit, a little bit. And by the way, how about you? That's what we're doing. It's called community building. It's ready to every good work within the community, within the civil government, within society. I know. You say, are you being social? I'm actually just reading the text. That's all it is. I would say little leagues, soccer teams, Boy Scouts. We've had people involved in pregnancy centers. What are those called, Amy, in this area? So you all hear my saying. By the way, we're here to help a community. You say, Pastor, does it always work? No. But I think in the last 20 years at least, we have pretty much populated Northern Illinois University and the University of Illinois, where Junior is going to graduate someday. Is that right, my friend? When are you graduating? Can you smell it? He's not excited about graduation. He wants to get away from Leah. That's really what it is. No, not Junior. Junior is the best brother that's ever existed. I don't know what's wrong with him. All right, let's continue, please. I'm going to quickly go through this, and boy, this will be tough. He goes on. By the way, he's already talked about being a law-abiding citizen. Submission, subjection, obedience. We follow the law, folks. I mean, to me, that's simple. Community building, we don't do it just as a church, meaning a building, or here, little pieces in the community. Like I said, Captain Duncan, by the way, Tom Leck Sr. was involved in this, obviously his whole life that I knew him up here. Other people, I'm not telling you you need to be involved in the Legion. I'm saying there's lots of ways you can impact a community for good. Can I have an amen? That's all we're looking for. Thirdly, it's tougher to speak evil of no man. That's the Greek word blasphemy. Now, we usually think blasphemy is speaking evil of God, but it's used in the New Testament for railing on people, nasty language, putting people down. So I would say this, one of our characteristics is we are to be temperature lowering citizens. We should bring the temperature down, not bring the temperature up. We're also not to be brawlers. I kind of like the word brawler. You know, it's an alpha primitive, which means it's a negative. But I mean, we're not people always in a fist fight, yelling, screaming, spitting, throwing things at people, calling people names. We are people who are temperature lowering people, bringing the temperature down. As obvious from last week, a man in California. Everyone look at me. Dave has been talking about this in Sunday school for kids, but it ain't kids. It's old people too. Went down a rabbit hole. He kept hearing over and over, do you hear this kind of crap? And I'm using that word for trash. I better be careful with that word because I know some people use it. I'm just talking about trash. Look at me, friend. Trump is a pedophile. Trump is a racist. Trump is, and I wrote him down, a rapist. He's a Nazi. He's a fascist. He's trying to destroy our democracy. What do you do to people like that? You try to kill them. That's not what we do. And if you're involved in any kind of Trump love or Trump hate, both of them are wrong. What is wrong with us? We can't figure out how to speak anymore. Everything is hate. By the way, don't get nervous about the guy trying to kill Trump. I can remember the Oklahoma City bombing. Can you? Where a white racist guy got all radicalized and decided to pull up against kids and blew up a building and murdered tons of kids. I said, and I say again, you can be a Democrat, barely, and be a Christian. You can be a Republican, barely, and be a Christian. You can't play that game on either end. The farther you move out on either side, you become a racist, a hater. You can't control your mouth. You're saying, by the way, Paul is telling you, you don't use language like this about people. And the constant, I mean, there's clips of it. Now you say, do you think most of these are movements? I'm going to say this to all of you. I actually think the farther you go either direction, I think you tend to be what we used to call anarchist. I think if you went to a No Kings rally and just don't, not interview, not being, you know, I'm talking about talk to people, I don't think you could have figured out what they're talking about. I think it's anarchy. We just want to tear down. I think if you went to January 6th, hello, in D.C. and tried to talk to some of those yahoos, I think they're the same group of people just on either end of the spectrum. Look at me, friend. Do you realize you have to live here? You want this here to be the best place it can be. You want the people here to be treated well, folks. This whole thing of both sides of this, we're getting crazy, and some of it is pastors are cowards. It's just the truth. Well, you say, I don't like what you say. Didn't ask your opinion. I'm preaching direct teaching of Scripture. Yes, I'm a conservative. I'm on the right side of the thing. You say, why? Morality. I actually believe a woman's a woman and a man's a man. I'm against abortion. I'm for our strong military. Yeah, but folks, this stuff out here on the lunatic fringe, on it's just like, what's wrong with us? Do you realize there used to be Democrats not long ago that actually work with people? Do you know the number one message of your governor? We hate Trump. That's not policy. Do you know that? I can't solve this problem. I cannot. You say, Pastor Warren, I can't stand Trump. Well, I would tell you this. I'm not really interested in going out with a meal with him. I could do without him personally myself. I don't know that he's better or, you know, I think his policies, in some of them at least, would be better than Kabbalah, which had no policies that anybody could figure out. But I want to say this, friend. The hatred's got to stop. In your notes, here's what I think. Our privileges and responsibilities are these. Call out ideas. If you're going to talk about politics, deal with ideas, not people. All of the friends, how many times have you heard this about Trump? Look at me, please. He's trying to destroy our democracy. Do you understand there's sooner or later you're going to find some knucklehead that actually listens? Now, if you actually hear what they're really saying, he's trying to destroy our Democratic Party. That's true. And you say, what about, what's the latest flap we have in our country? What is it? Redistricting. By the way, Democrats and Republicans do this all over the country. But if you read the wrong newspapers, you only hear about one side. Both sides have been doing this forever. Do you not know this? When I came to Illinois 30 years ago, up here, we had Republicans representing us. That's been districted out a long time ago. They did that in Illinois decades ago. Please, they're all corrupt, pretty much, and power people. Call out ideas, yes. Stand for truth, yes. Do right, yes. Lower the temperature. I think it's a good idea. We're now going to conclude. I need to borrow some people. Can I do that? Dada, can I borrow you? Ade, can I borrow you? I know you're in the back. Can you come up here, buddy? Up here, you. I need Ade, and I'll use Cliffy. Cliffy, if you guys will come up on the platform. Let me go to the fourth concept. Notice what Paul says. By the way, these are not suggestions that you can kind of do if you want to do. He has been very, very clear. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. And we're going to pick up on the gentle showing all meekness unto all men. I said, first of all, we are to be law-abiding citizens. Why? It's commanded. Secondly, we are to be community-building citizens in our areas. By the way, we can't do everything. Find a place you can plug in. Thirdly, we are to be temperature-lowering citizens as much as possible. Talk about ideas. Talk about truths. Don't hate people. Oh, please don't call people things like Nazi and fascist. Then he talks about showing all meekness. Be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. I'm going to conclude with this. We are to be people-affirming citizens. Please look at me. Look at me. T-Tom, where did we go yesterday morning? Where at in Gurnee? What did you do there? King James English. He buffeted his body. And by the way, one of the guys really buffeted his body. Brennan was the best of the group. Brennan, you were self-control, all of that. Brennan, I'll ask you the question. What's the first thing I did with the waiter? And? Found out her name. By the way, I got a question for you. What is the value of the, positionally of the waiter at Golden Corral? Not much. By the way, does she have value? Yeah. By the way, everybody has value. Can I say what's happened with our politics? Your Christianity is gone. Your thinking is political. I hate those people. Whoever those people, you don't even know. I remember going in a group of years ago, they had a group of people from Northern Ireland come here, which Northern Ireland has been a hotbed of fighting forever. I mean, way back, actually BC back, that far back. But here was the point. I sit down with this group of Northern Ireland, and they're all in their little groups, and they know who's who. And I said, please tell me who I'm supposed to hate, because I don't know. I didn't know who was Catholic, who was Protestant, who was... I want to say this to you. First thing I did was find out the lady's name. By the way, the last thing I did was I gave her a tip. Does she need a tip? Did she expect a tip? Actually, she was surprised. It's Golden Corral. What's the Golden Corral? Nothing. Friends, people affirming. I think Jesus, pretty good authority, said this. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. I'm going to do this analogy from 1 Peter. Everybody, let's see if we can actually get our heads engaged. I know we're real distracted because anything that deals with isn't our belly button, we're out of dodge. This is our problem. If we don't hear it in a Bible-believing church, where are you hearing it? We're going to use 1 Peter. I've done it many times. Ade, over here. You step up here, please. All the way up. You're right here. I got to have four guys. I only got three. Taquito. For the worst of the worst, right here. Stand right here, my friend. By the way, everybody look at 1 Peter 2:17. I kind of put it in the steps order. 1 Peter 2:17 in your notes. By the way, this is not a suggestion. This is not your opinion. This is called living like a Christian. You say, Pastor Warren, do you like what? No, I have my political opinions. I try to talk about truth and ideas. I don't have to hate everybody. The Bible says this. Honor what? Of course, men is not even in the text. It's honor all people. So you meet somebody, they look differently than you. How is your relationship with them? Look up here. Quit playing around. What's your relationship? Honor, dignity, and respect for people. You say common people? Can I say this to you? You're a common person. Let me say this. I'm a common person, too. When you go get your knee operated on, that doctor's not asking, I wonder how much education he has. He's saying, there's his knee. He needs this cut off, this hammered in. I mean, come on, folks. We're common. Honor all men. Then you step up a notch because there's another relationship. Your relation. No, stay here, everybody. The other relationship is how you treat God's people. If I can say this without being weird, you would both honor and love God's people. You have a closer connection. Then at the top of the heap is God himself. As good as I can get this morning. It's better than me being up there. So, honor all people, honor and love God's people. You honor, love, and fear God. But our problem isn't any of this. Our problem is this group over here. Who's the group you like to honor? Well, it could be yourself, or it could be certain sports figures. Okay, whoever you think's the most honorable person, that's exactly how you treat the least important in your life. You treat these people exactly the same. Yes or no? Same word. Can I say this? It's an embarrassment to watch Christians get caught up in hate. You say, well, they hate us. Yes, they do. By the way, Donald Trump even said it when Kirk got shot, which I honestly knew his name, knew about him. I'm not a person in those worlds, and I didn't know much about him. When he got shot, Donald Trump, but the wife said, I forgive the guy. Trump said, I don't forgive him. I don't follow Trump. I follow Scripture. How about you? I can't hear you. Mm-hmm. Honor all people. Yes, you honor and love God's people. Yes, God, you love, honor, and fear, obey. Whoever you think is important. When I'm in the Navy, if I see somebody that has stuff on their little cap up here, I know they're a senior officer. I better be saluting. I treat this person. I don't have to salute this person, but I treat the person that is the least with the same respect. By the way, watch how you treat this person. I'll know how you treat everybody. Let's pray, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Father, thank you for this time. This is hard stuff. It's beautiful stuff. Law-abiding citizens, that's what you're teaching. Every country, I don't think Creed had a perfect government. We're also community building. As individuals, as Christians, we plug in, we contribute in the areas that we can contribute, and we have ability, interest, passion. It could be a community band. It could be a community course. All of those things build communities. Staying at home watching television and playing video games and looking at our iPhones do not build community. They destroy it. Temperature lowering, which is a very difficult thing for all of us to do. Help us to stick with the ideas, truth, and help us always to be people affirming, honoring people made in your image. Help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.